This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFK. If you're not already a member, consider joining with us and keep free speech alive.
Yes, everybody wants to rule the world, especially the Republicans in state houses across the country who have taken over as of November 2010, and they are willing to pass any kind of laws to help them do exactly that at the polling place. Good afternoon, Brad Friedman of bradblog.com. This is The Bradcast right here on Pacifica Radio's 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM Santa Barbara, 93.7 FM in San Diego, and 99.5 in Ridgecrest and China Lake, and of course, coast to coast, and around the globe via kpfk.org. Glad you could join us here today. I am, of course, your friendly citizen investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow from bradblog.com. And those who know me and know Bradblog know that I've been reporting for years on issues of election integrity, from the problems with electronic voting systems and tabulators to problems with access at the polling place and those who would like to undermine that access. We saw a videotape this week from a woman in Wisconsin who has asked me to only identify her as Nicole, where she actually tried to go to the Wisconsin DMV to get a new free photo ID for her son in the wake of the new Republican law that has been put in place up in Wisconsin requiring a photo ID before one is allowed to vote at the polling place. Of course, this voter suppression law, and that's exactly what it is, will do little more than disenfranchise voters, voters who happen to be, elderly, urban, students, those who tend to vote Democratic, and that's exactly the purpose of this bill. Her video is interesting and shows us a few points illustrating just some, but not all of the hoops that voters are going to have to jump through in the state of Wisconsin in order to be able to cast their legal vote this coming presidential election year, and in states around the country where these very same type of bills are being put in place. I'm talking about Texas, South Carolina, Tennessee, Indiana, Georgia, and elsewhere where Republicans are hoping to game the system before next year's presidential election. It's no accident, by the way, that these bills are now being put in place, bills that years ago would have been regarded as poll taxes. Back in the 60s, for example, the Supreme Court found a law unconstitutional because it might have required voters to pay $1.50 before being able to cast their vote. In the case of Wisconsin, if you don't know the secret password to get your photo ID for free at the DMV, as you'll hear in this video in just a little bit, you'll have to pay $28 for that photo ID. That's if you can get to the DMV in the first place. And if you have the documents that are needed to get that free photo ID, like a passport, for example, which might cost you another $100 in and of itself. So this, where did all of this come from? Where are these bills that are popping up now in state after state? Where did they come from? Well, this effort has been pushed by legislation, template legislation, if you will, that has been created by a big right-wing group that creates these type of bills specifically to be given to state houses around the country, known as American Legislative Exchange Council, or ALEC. ALEC was founded by, among other people, Paul Weyrich, the godfather of the modern-day, quote-unquote, conservative movement. As you can hear in this video from Paul Weyrich in 1980, when he was speaking to a bunch of 18,000 Baptist ministers at a convention, along with Ronald Reagan and Jerry Falwell, this scheme to keep people from being able to cast their vote has been something that Republicans have long sought, and now they're getting it. Here's Paul Weyrich from 1980 speaking to these Baptist ministers about who he would like to be able to see vote or not vote.
Now, many of our Christians have what I call the goo-goo syndrome. Good government. They want everybody to vote. I don't want everybody to vote. Elections are not won by a majority of people. They never have been from the beginning of our country, and they are not now. As a matter of fact, our leverage in the elections, quite candidly, goes up as the voting populace goes down.
Our leverage in the election goes up as the voting populace goes down. Preventing legal voters from voting has a long and sordid history in this nation, especially in the Deep South, where infamous Jim Crow laws, egregious burdens like poll taxes and literacy tests and other, we'll call them shenanigans, were used for decades to legally prevent African-American voters from voting and even registering to vote at all. That is, until the Civil Rights Movement finally succeeded in pushing the Supreme Court to declare those laws unconstitutional. But the civil rights struggle over your right to vote did not end there. Far from it. The effort to restrict your right to vote remains alive and well in 2011, with the surge of Republican majorities in state houses across the country passing scores of these new voter suppression laws. Dozens of states have now passed these new restrictive laws, but mountains of evidence show, as we've reported over and over again at the Brad Blog over the years, that there is no epidemic of voter fraud. Period. At least no evidence of massive impersonation of voters at the polling place, which is what these polling place photo ID restrictions are ostensibly meant to combat. But it just doesn't happen. Now, election fraud by insiders with electronic voting machine access and access to the tabulators, that is a very serious concern. But impersonation at the polling place, It's about as common as unicorns, leprechauns, and the tooth fairy, as even statistics from the George W. Bush Department of Justice show, and as even those Republicans responsible for these voter suppression laws are forced to admit whenever anybody bothers to ask them about it directly. Comedian Stephen Colbert had a word or two to say about these laws recently on the Colbert Report.
Nation, for as long as there has been an America, there have been irregularities at the polls. For instance, did you know that many voting booths do not have hooks to hang up your pants? And these irregularities are very suspicious. For instance, in 2008, none of my friends at the club voted for Barack Obama, and yet supposedly he won. And when people I don't like get elected, there's only one explanation.
Allegations of voter fraud continue to pop up all across the country.
Voter fraud?
Voter fraud.
Voter fraud?
Voter fraud.
Yes, voter fraud. Take Ohio, a crucial swing state in the last few elections. There, a statewide survey of votes cast in 2002 and 2004 found that out of 9,078,000 votes, there were four instances of fraud. That is a jaw-dropping 44 one-millionths of 1%. Folks, our democracy is under siege from an enemy so small it could be hiding anywhere. Now, some say these numbers indicating there is no widespread fraud means there is no widespread fraud. Wrong. But the most insidious form of fraud is people voting wrong. Now, thankfully, Republican lawmakers in Texas, Georgia, Indiana, Wisconsin, Kansas, Tennessee, and South Carolina have all passed laws that require voters to show government-issued photo ID. The Democrat pro-fraud coalition went on a warpath.
All of these Republican governors are pushing all of these laws that will make it dramatically harder to register to vote and to actually vote.
Voter ID laws are a poll tax.
I guess they don't think that we understand that they're trying to keep poor people from voting. Minorities from voting,
the elderly from voting, students from voting. We are not stupid.
Well, that's the difference between us, madam. These laws aren't designed to keep those Democrats from voting. They're designed to keep the wrong people from voting.
Why do we have these campaigns saying we have to get all the young people to vote? Young people often don't know anything. Let's stop saying everyone should vote. Voting is important.
If people cannot even feed and clothe themselves, should they be allowed to vote? Should they be voting?
If you're not a property owner, you know, I'm sorry, but property owners have a little bit more of a vested stake in the community than not property owners do.
And that's Tea Party Nation founder Judson Phillips. He knows the founding fathers were property owners, and some of the descendants of that property just shouldn't vote.
That was Stephen Colbert on the new photo ID laws being passed by Republicans in state after state, including his home state of South Carolina, Texas, Georgia, Indiana, Kansas, South Carolina, and, of course, Wisconsin. Making matters even worse for voters in Wisconsin is Republican Governor Scott Walker. Now, Walker himself is likely to face a recall election next year in the wake of the new GOP law revoking rights for citizens to collectively bargain with the government. So he has every good reason, I suspect, to try and game the polling place. Well, Governor Walker is now working to make it even harder for Wisconsinites who don't have a state-issued photo ID to get one at the DMV, as they're supposed to be allowed to do for free under the Republicans' new photo ID restriction law. According to Ian Millhiser at thinkprogress.org, the Walker administration is now finalizing a plan to close branches of the DMV located in Democratic areas of the state, while, surprise, surprise, extending hours at the DMV in many Republican districts. But that's not all. In a video posted online by a Wisconsin resident recently trying to help her son get a state-issued photo ID from the DMV, there are still more maddening hoops illustrated that the state is now forcing legal voters to jump through in order to exercise their right to vote. Among those hoops, which back in the day when we had a constitutionally representative democracy would have been considered an unconstitutional poll tax, among those hoops, a $28 fee that citizens are charged to get their ID in the first place, unless they happen to know to check the tiny box on the form in order to get one for free, as they are entitled to, as I say, under the new state law. In order to obtain a Wisconsin photo ID for voting, one must provide proof of name and date of birth, proof of identity, proof of Wisconsin residency, proof of U.S. citizenship, legal permanent residency status, legal conditional resident status or legal temporary visitor status, and your social security number. In this case, the woman was trying to help her son get a free photo ID at the DMV, as is his right under the new statutes. Among the evidence for residency presented by the woman and her son, as seen in the video, was a copy of his bank statement. But seemingly, the bank statement is not enough. The clerk at the DMV wonders if there has been enough activity on that bank statement.
We need to show how much activity he has.
Here's his passport.
I understand.
My ID.
Okay, no, I don't need yours. This I need to show. Does he use his checking? Is that checking account or just savings? He does have his checking, correct?
There's his checking.
I know,
account.
But does he show activity? Does he use it? We need to show activity, not just a balance.
Well, yeah, here's his purchase on Amazon.
Oh, just one?
Okay. I mean, that is some activity.
He's not employed, so.
Okay. All right, let's see what we got here.
After a few more minutes going back and forth with the clerk, he is finally convinced that the son has shown enough activity in his bank statement, which the woman says on the video that she believes to be an invasion of his privacy, going through, rifling through his bank statement. Now, I asked Christina Boardman, director of the Wisconsin Department of Transportation's Bureau of Field Services, whether the inquiry, as seen on this videotape, including the requirement for evidence of bank account activity, was appropriate and normal. She says, in fact, it wasn't. She explained to me that the clerk seen on the videotape was a temporary person and they were incorrect, and that that staff person has been advised. Boardman explained, quote, I think there was a time that anybody could just go and set up a bank account and it didn't necessarily prove that they were a resident. But, she says, that is not the case anymore. The policy itself was changed about a year ago, she told me. Now, the woman on the tape inquires what would happen if her son was homeless and he didn't have a bank account.
Sir, what if he was homeless and he didn't have a bank account?
I haven't dealt with that yet. So.
Well, this is a legitimate question.
I know, it is, but I'm not one to answer that. They are over there because they're the full-time employees. So they would have to answer that question.
More on that question about homeless folks and their ability to prove their residency in the state of Wisconsin in a moment. The woman then says she was moved on to the next station, her son's photograph is taken, and then her son's passport is inspected by the next clerk at station number 3. Now, since her son doesn't have a Social Security card with him, the clerk examines his other proof of Wisconsin residency again. That would be the bank statement that is once again rifled through by the clerk at the DMV. She notes the clerk then automatically jots down $28 on the application before he notices that the special box on the form has been checked. He crosses off the amount due, and the son will soon be able to get his free photo ID as per the state law. But what if someone didn't know to check off that box or didn't even notice the box on this long form that says, I certify I'm a United States citizen, will be at least 18 years of age by the next election, and require a Wisconsin identification card for free in order to vote? Would that person be told they had that right?
If someone were to just say they needed a state ID card, would they know it was free if it was for voting?
Unless they tell us it's for voting, we charge them.
Why is that? Because with the new law, the voter ID bill...
it's kind of discouraging.
It's supposed to be free. So why wouldn't you tell them that right from the start, a voter ID card is free?
Or I mean, why do you... They're the same card, so unless you come in and specifically request it, we charge you for it. Like, you know, if you're 20 and you're going on a trip, you know, you may not vote, so we're still going to charge you for that card.
Well, would you ask them? Would you say, is this for voting or for...
If they check the box. So it's, you know, one of them where... They shouldn't even really be doing any of it, but it's just one of them where, you know, they wanted to make this law and now it's going to affect a lot of people. So if it's for voting, we do it for free. But if not, you know, we don't know that they're going to use it for voting.
Why don't you have that as a question? I mean, I would like to ask your supervisor, why don't you ask people, is this for voting? Is this ID for voting or is it for something else?
They put it on here and that satisfies the state statute. So,
I would like to ask your supervisor that question. Thank you.
A supervisor is then brought over at the Wisconsin DMV to answer the woman's question about whether an applicant would be given a free ID if they didn't know to ask for it in the first place.
Question about the, where did the sheet go? The application for a voter ID card?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If someone comes in and they get an ID card, why is it that they're not just asked right off the bat, is this a voter ID card or a regular ID card? Because some people might be charged $28 when they don't need to be charged.
They need to ask for it. It's something that is available, but they should ask for it.
But why not ask them, is this a voter ID card or... a regular ID card?
Because...
have you been given instructions?
The instruction is that if somebody comes in and says, I need an ID card to go and vote, that it's free. If it is a original issuance or a renewal. But if somebody comes in and they've lost their ID, it's not within its renewal period and they need a replacement, we have to charge for it. So a replacement, a duplicate?
Right, but couldn't you ask them, is this a renewal or a replacement, or is this for voter ID?
To let them ask.
And so who gave you that direction?
Well, it's from the powers that be.
Yeah, no, who would that be?
That would be, well, you can, the next step in my chain of command would be Tracy Howard.
Tracy Howard, okay.
The Wisconsin DMV supervisor then gives the woman the phone number for Tracy Howard. I called that phone number and left a message for Ms. Howard asking if this was the appropriate procedure, if applicants are not to be told that they are entitled to a free photo ID if they need to use it for voting. Remember, as I said at the beginning here, when the Supreme Court had a case concerning poll taxes back in the 60s, they found the law unconstitutional because a person would be required to pay $1.50. Now we're talking about $28 for an ID. Well, I left a message for Ms. Howard and got a return call from Christina Boardman, the director of Wisconsin's Department of Transportation's Bureau of Field Services. Boardman explained to me that the statutory language in the bill in Wisconsin's new photo ID restriction bill specifically puts the onus on the customer, she says, for getting the ID for free for voting. She said, we try to make that as easy as possible, that this is indeed an option by including a checkbox on the application. She then went on to read the pertinent section of Wisconsin Statute 343.50, Section 5, to me over the phone. The part which says that the ID card will be for free if, quote, the applicant requests that the identification card be provided without charge for purposes of voting. All they have to do is check that box and we honor it, said Boardman. We're implementing the law as written. That's what she told me. Back on the video, the Wisconsin mom asked the supervisor, what about a homeless person? What would they have to do to prove residency to the state's satisfaction?
Well, what if someone's homeless?
They still have to provide us with an address, even if it's the shelter.
Well, how do they show you if they don't have a bank account? How do they? I was asked for a bank
statement. Homeless is a very unique situation. A homeless person is not going to have any bank statement. If they have a letter from the shelter where they're staying saying that they are residents in good standing at the shelter, we can accept that as an exception.
At that point, the woman who told me she'd like to be identified only as Nicole, her camera, the flashcard, runs out of memory. So the video stops at that point, and she goes on to say that she was told that a letter from a shelter where a homeless person is staying has to be on shelter letterhead, leading her to wonder how many homeless shelters have official letterhead. Good question. She says she was told that even a homeless person who, quote, lives on the street rather than in a shelter would still need to provide acceptable proof of Wisconsin residency somehow, or they wouldn't be able to obtain a voter ID to be able to vote, which is their right in the state of Wisconsin. At the end of the video, the woman, Nicole, writes, quote, an estimated 300,000 eligible voters in the state do not have a driver's license, according to the University of Wisconsin political science professor David Cannon. A number disproportionately made up by elderly, minorities, the disabled, and students. She wonders how the DMV plans to accommodate all 300,000 of them, the folks who will need ID by 2012 to cast their vote. She concludes the video with one title card that says simply, this is what voter suppression looks like. According to a 2005 study by the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee's Employment and Training Institute, described as a first-time analysis of driver's license issues based on the racial ethnicity of drivers and unlicensed adults in Wisconsin, it's not just the homeless, of course, in Wisconsin or anywhere else who are likely to have trouble voting when the new photo ID restrictions come into a full effect in Wisconsin next year. The elderly, ethnic minorities, and the state's sizable college population are also among those likely to be hardest hit, all demographics who tend to lean Democratic. Some of the report's finding include, quote, of people over the age of 65, 23% do not have a Wisconsin driver's license or photo ID. In Wisconsin alone, that's over 175,000 people over the age of 65 who must now jump through new hoops to be allowed to vote. 70% of those, by the way, are women. There are nearly 100,000 people between the ages of 35 and 64 in Wisconsin who also must go through these steps before the election because they do not have a driver's license or a photo ID, says the report. Minorities and poor populations are the most likely to be disenfranchised by photo ID restrictions. In Milwaukee County, for example, according to the report, which tends to lean Democratic, less than 47% of African-American adults and 43% of Hispanic adults have a valid driver's license. For those 18 to 24, it's even worse. Only 26% of young African-Americans and 34% of young Hispanics in Milwaukee County have a valid driver's license, compared to 71% of young white adults in the balance of the state. All of these people, says the report, will now have to go through these hoops to obtain new IDs in order to be allowed to vote in any election, even if they have voted in the past at the same precinct for decades. In summary, let's run through that again. Those without state-issued photo IDs in Wisconsin who would need to obtain one to vote under the new voter ID bill include 23% of Wisconsinites over the age of 65, 17% of white men and women, 55% of African-American males, and 49% of African-American women, 46% of Hispanic men, and 59% of Hispanic women. 78% of African-American males aged 18 to 24 and 66% of African-American women aged 18 to 24 do not have a photo ID, and they would need to obtain one in order to be able to cast their legal vote. Good luck with that hoop jumping between now and 2012, Wisconsinites, and in the other states, Texas, South Carolina, Maine, Florida, Indiana, Georgia, all states that are now making it more difficult for you to cast your right to vote under the new Republican majority regimes in each of those states. The Republican war on voting continues to continue, and we will continue to cover it, both here on KPFK and, of course, at bradblog.com. My thanks today to producer Desi Doyen and engineer G. Until next week, when we'll see you at the same Brad time on the same Brad channel, I am Brad Friedman, and we'll see you at bradblog.com.